Welcome to the GOGcast, brought to you by XSplit Broadcaster, simple yet powerful live streaming and recording. And now, your host, Leah.
Welcome to another Girls on Games podcast. My name is Leah, and this is episode number 152. We got another sweet one for you this week. Topic of the show, we're actually going to do a little roundtable discussion here. Going to talk about demos, because I had a recent interesting experience with a demo, and I want to talk about it with the crew. And the kind of the life of a demo. And, you know, do they still matter? So we're going to get into that when we get to the topic of the show. But before we do that, I want to, of course, introduce you to all the friendly voices around this digital table. Catherine, how are ya?
I'm good. I survived an epic week at work, but all is well now.
We're just out from GDC, so anybody who's working in video games, they is busy. Speaking of busy and working in video games, Allie, how you doing?
I'm good.
Awesome. And Simon, what's up?
I'm good as well. Not much as that.
Perfect. Well, that's good. I guess it's time to get into what we like to do every week, talking about what games we're playing. But of course, want to remind you, if you enjoy this show, we would appreciate and much love you for a subscription. You can go and subscribe to this show on Apple Podcasts in the iTunes Store. You can also do it on Google Play, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and of course where we host this on Podbean. I'm actually seeing a lot of people going and liking on Podbean because I get alerts in my email all the time. So thank you very much for doing that. I appreciate it. And so does my email. So
you hear it. If you want to spam Leah, go like the podcast.
There you go. Spamming my email. All right. It's time to talk about what games we've been gaming. Kat, what's up with you? What have you been playing?
Still on that lunchtime Overwatch train, because Far Cry 5 is not out yet.
Soon, my dear, soon.
Yes, actually, I am starting to get really excited about it. But I actually, the latest mobile game hit Florence. I always say Florence because it's my niece's name, and it'll always be a French name in my head. Don't at me. Came out on Android.
Nice.
As we record this, it came out like 2 days ago, I think. So I've been playing on the bus and on the metro going to work. So I'm only at the second chapter. Mm-hmm. So she's getting to the point where she's going to meet a boy.
Ooh.
But so far,
I got boys.
I can see.
Let's talk about boys.
That's how you derail a podcast.
I'm not even sorry. I have this. I don't even remember. It's like an old video on YouTube, and it's like shoes. Oh my god, shoes! And
yes.
I can't fucking remember who did that, but I just remember that video, and the guy is fucking funny. Anyway, sorry about that.
All that to say, haven't played much of it, but I can understand why the hype and why a lot of people are praising it. So it's a very good narrative game with little interactive elements, and it's really nice. It's like a little slice of life, little piece of art on your phone. I love the art. I love the music. The music's great. It's one of the very few mobile games that I actually turn off my own music and listen to the music in game.
I just bought it based on your recommendation.
Cool.
Done. $3.99 gone.
It's a good $4. I paid less. Why? Oh, right. I got a rebate with my Google Play subscription.
Nice.
I think I saved all of 10 cents.
$3.89 for you.
You and can now, go back 80 years ago and buy a gumball with that.
Yes. But now I think I shared it in my family's library. So my boyfriend and my mom and everybody else that leeches off the music account could play it.
Oh, that's cool. That's a nice
feature.
What
if it turns into like a Doki Doki Literature Club sort of twist and starts playing the game?
Is it going to corrupt my phone or something and start rewriting stuff on it?
Can you imagine it's like it's all sweet and really like artistic and I'm just like I'm somewhere between like, you know, like Jean Talon and Beaubien Metro and it just goes crazy and I'm like, oh, 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 oh. Everybody just looks at drops me like,
drops her phone, stands up, and walks away down the metro.
And then there's just like the Montreal officer's just like, what's wrong, officer? Nothing's happening.
I can't explain. It's too much game. How about you, Ellie? What are you playing?
A little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this, and a little bit of that. No, I've been playing Darwin Project from Scavenger Studios in Montreal. Been giving that a shot because you know that Battle Royale hype train cannot be stopped.
Mm-mm.
Ever.
God. The new zombies.
You know what? I'm digging it.
Yeah.
I see the potential. It's in game preview. So just to preface this, it's in game preview on both Xbox and Steam at the moment. And it's obviously it's a work in progress. I'm digging it. I see a lot of potential for it. It's kind of like, and I don't want to say this word like I'm not trying to belittle the game, but it's sillier than PUBG and Fortnite. Like, it's more...
Agreed.
The word that people were using in my chat was bombastic. So, like, it's kind of, like, you... Like, it's not...
Cartoony?
It's very cartoony. The weapons are not very precise. It's kind of, like... It kind of feels like a little bit of a free-for-all when you're, like, trying to hit people with your axe or... And even with your bow, it's very floaty, very... It's not tight. It's not tight combat, which is okay. And the games are very short, and it has that really awesome game mode where you get to play the show director.
Yeah.
And that's been a lot of fun. That I find is something really different. It has interactive built in for both Mixer and for Twitch, which lets your community kind of take part in the game with you. So there's, like, a lot going on. It's not all perfect. I've encountered a few bugs. Duos are not yet implemented in the game. Mixer Interactive was, I believe, just added today or yesterday. But they're getting there. And I see what they're trying to accomplish. And I'm enjoying it. But I don't know how long it's going to keep my attention.
I can understand that.
You know, I feel like there's a lot of room for them to grow, and I'm excited for that, but it's just, like, it's going to take, I think, a lot to keep me really into it, you know? Like, I'm not going to be trying to fight my way to the top of the leaderboard. I don't really have any interest in doing that, just because I feel like the combat is so loosey-goosey. For me, it's just something to boot up and have fun with friends, have fun with my community. It, visually, though, it looks gorgeous. It's a very
nice
pretty game. It's kind of like Fortnite in that style, you know, very cartoony, kind of blocky, chunky. But all in all, I think it's a solid title coming out of a Montreal studio.
Yeah, I think they really own that whole, like, and because it's kind of like a nighttime winter aesthetic, that, like, differentiates it from other games. That's really nice, yet it has that blocky, like you mentioned, like, style to it that mm-hmm. still brings in that cartoon side.
Yeah, no, it's I'm excited to see it grow. I just think at this point it needs to grow very quickly going up against games like Fortnite and PUBG, because let's be honest, they are direct competitors.
Yeah.
They are, and not everyone, you know, I wish there was infinite hours in the day where everybody could play every single game they want to, but people have to pick and choose, right? Mm. So they're gonna have to make updates fast and furious and consistent to, you know, break out.
If they didn't have the director mode, and also if they didn't have the integration with Mixer and Twitch, I don't think they would have as much of a chance as they do right
now.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I think honestly, if they didn't have that, you know, making them stand out, they would kind of be dead on arrival because the Battle Royale market is so saturated right now.
Mm-hmm.
And no one wants to see that, right? Like, I like to see games, you know, thrive and come out on top. And I think that they've got those two things working for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they just need, like I said, fast and consistent updates to the game to keep people interested.
They have that competition or something going on real soon too, don't they?
They did. They did have a competition. They had,
oh, it happened.
Yeah, they had kind of like an all-star Twitch tournament
mm-hmm.
With some big name streamers, content creators, stuff like that. And apparently went well. I believe Lyric was the winner.
Arguably some of the biggest Twitch streamers out there. You know, they're pretty, like, you know, Tim, Shroud, Lyric.
Yeah.
Like, all so men, many... right?
Well, yes. Yeah, that's the other thing that I will let Ali discuss.
Well, I mean, you could have changed it up a little bit, but whatever. No, like, but I mean, that's I think was that tournament, I think, was a key part of their marketing. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to see things like that continue. I don't think we're going to see companies, you know, start their own tournaments unless the game continues to grow and evolve and stuff like that. Because we always see games come out of nowhere. Like, the example I gave when I was discussing it with Simon is you don't want it to go the way of Evolve, right? Where they get all these big names on board for like a week. Everyone's tweeting about it. Everyone's playing it. And then a week after that, it kind of, you know, goes away. We don't want that to happen.
Mm-hmm. So I think they're doing enough with the community too on the smaller side. Like, it seems like even folks on our crew, like Nixie, and has done something with them. Also, Pixel Princess 80 as well. So I think they're really they're using the whole Mixer connection thing and those small communities to try and build the hype, just as well as using these big guys too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, should be interesting to see how it pans out. Is that all you've been playing?
So on top of that, I've gone and dug up my Xbox 360 out of storage to play Defiance, which is a kind of a little known title, unfortunately, that launched on 360. But the developer Tryon is going to be basically remastering and re-releasing a game called Defiance 2050, which is a, like I said, remaster, re-release of the base game. And they're going to be releasing that on PC and modern consoles, this generation's consoles. So I've been going back to visit my 360 character and get her prepped and, you know, get as much stuff done in game as I can that'll carry over to 2050.
Nice.
Yep.
That's going to be great.
Cool stuff.
How about you, Simon? What you been playing?
I mean, it wouldn't surprise anyone if I said I was still playing Rainbow Six Siege. the game has consumed me so much that I put a post on Twitter. I don't know if you guys had a chance to look at it, but basically when you play the game, one of the first thing you do as an attacker is shoot at the cameras, because if not, you get spotted by the enemy team, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I've been noticing cameras fucking everywhere now, so I started taking pictures of them and posting them on Twitter. I'm like, there's a problem now that I start to notice cameras and I just want to shoot them so that I don't get spotted.
Like in real life?
Yeah, well, at work, we have like a couple, you know, we have some cameras at work, of course, and they look exactly like the Rainbow Six Siege cameras, like the little half black balls or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm like, oh. Camera there. Oh, camera there. No, I just noticed him now out of the corner of my eye because I'm playing too much Siege. So, yeah.
It's funny. I watched the Truman Show with Michael last night, and that's all I saw everywhere was those cameras.
Nice. No, but yeah, so it's been wonderful. A lot of people actually playing with. I usually play like these kind of games really solo, but I've got a lot of friends, Albin from MOBA. I've been playing a lot with him, a lot of his friends as well, a lot of people from other podcasts or whatever. So yeah, I've been having a really good time playing Rainbow Six Siege with all those awesome people. So
very awesome.
Yep.
So I played a little bit of Darwin Project as well, like Allie. I decided that I wanted to try the Kirby Star Allies demo that was on the Switch for a little bit. I think it's still there, but essentially they've got that game. I don't know if it came out or if it's coming out or what, but I played it and then decided, yep, this is not for me, and went back to Stardew Valley.
Wow.
I don't know. Bill, there's a good reason for it, okay? So I didn't have much access to the back room on Monday, where I'm currently recording now, because Michael was recording a podcast just at a different hour. And so I wanted to play something again. So and I saw that news about the next Concerned Ape game, which was called... It changed names. I'm trying to remember now which it was. I was actually trying to pull it up because I couldn't remember.
Was it Spellbound?
It was called Spellbound, but now it has another name. Which book?
Rich Brook.
Oh, Brook. Okay. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I'm super stoked about that. And also tomorrow, I'm also waiting because I've done everything I can do in Slime Rancher, and the Mochi's Megabucks update comes out for Xbox tomorrow. So yay! That's what I've been doing, and I don't know how many of you guys try to complete the community center in Stardew Valley, but for God's sakes, all I need is goddamn rabbit's foot. And do you know how long it's taking me to get that? I'm ready to strangle the goddamn rabbits. I just went and killed all the chickens in my coop or whatever, just so I can go buy all rabbits.
I can get it. Have you been checking the merchant? Does the merchant bring it?
Apparently they do, and I started doing that, so I've got like this routine right now where I every day go and check on the rabbits, and then if it's the proper day, go and check the merchant, and then I'm also going into the skull cavern in the desert, because apparently those green flying things that, you know, like, you know they're coming because you hear that sound, apparently they rarely drop them too, so that's like my constant routine right now. It's all I need, but yeah. Such is life. All right, it's time to get into news of the week. We're going to do that right after this break. All right, it's time to get into news of the week. Catherine, what do you got for me?
Well, rip retail.
What is that supposed to be like?
It's the meme. It's the meme song of sadness. I feel like that's from Zelda, the meme song of sadness.
Oh my god.
Anyway.
God lost it. He's lost it.
Toys R Us filed for bankruptcy, and they've announced that they're closing all of their stores in the States. They were like, we're filing for bankruptcy and closing some stores. And then they were like, nah, brah. All the stores in the U.S. are closed.
Wonder what's going to happen to the ones here in Canada.
It's only a matter of time because, like, in December, NCIX filed for bankruptcy and they were going to close their retail and they were going to focus on online. But then they closed everything and had this auction. So I think NCIX is super dead. So, and Toys R Us is next. So,
rip brick and mortar stores.
Yep. I think Amazon Prime all the way.
They're expensive to run, yo. The footprint. It's crazy.
And I think, like, for especially for the toy market, like, who really goes when you have kids? Do you really have time to go and get those things when you can just order them and hide them in your office until Christmas?
And aren't there just, like, the peak holidays to buy things? Do you know what I mean? Like, what did they do the rest of the year?
I mean, they had VG stuff, and I remember getting my first Game Boy at Toys R Us.
Me too.
But, I mean, I think a lot of, like, the video games shifting to digital just fucking killed their video game part of business. And then NCIX, I think they just couldn't compete with Newegg and Amazon.
Well, NCIX like basically fucked themselves up by offering... It's the classic case of lowering your prices so much that it ends up costing you everything. And that's pretty much what NCIX... Jesus. That's pretty much what NCIX did.
Stop! Going down! Sorry. I fucking, like, had my mic muted.
It's okay, Penny!
Are you a whale? Are you a dog? What's going on? Stop it. You're not being a snack. Go lay down.
Go lay down. I think Penny is sad that NCIX closed because the Penny deals were just so
NCIX. You guys keep saying it, and I'm like, I don't fucking
It's
know
a computer
it's
like hardware.
Yeah, like Newegg. You don't know Newegg either?
I know. Okay. I know what Newegg is. I know what Newegg is. I don't know what NCIS or
anything. The face you made it look like you didn't know what I was talking about.
Oh yeah, we see her.
Always watching.
Oh, the dog.
No, but NCIX used to be a Canadian staple. Like, everyone used to go get their stuff there and everything. So
not in my Canada. Just joking. I've never seen one of them. I've literally never. never seen.
Yeah, no, they didn't sell console. That's probably why.
Yeah.
Oh, so sassy. Yeah. It was. I'm coming to visit Canada at the end of the month.
So you can't be sassy at me, but I can sass back. What is this? Like, what one-way relationship are we having right now?
I was trying to come back with like a comment about our relationship and how it's unhealthy and like be a joke, but it's not a joke. We're like always mean to each other.
The true meaning of friendship.
Yeah, clearly. There we go.
Anyways, it's sex dead sad.
Yes,
it is sad.
It used to be. My computer's like, I think you ordered all the parts off of NCIX.
Yep. I mean,
probably.
Everything I have at home until recently was NCIX, so.
And now it's all Amazon Prime, that ish.
Amazon and Newegg.
Yeah. I got a little bit of news. Our buddy Jason Acevedo, who you've heard on the podcast before, has left Ubisoft, and he's got a new gig and announced some new news. So he is currently the head of brand and communications at Elastic Games. I'm gonna make sure I say that right now. Here in Montreal, which is really cool. They're a indie team, and they're working on a game called Last Year, The Nightmare. And I want to give you a little deets on this game. You probably haven't heard about it for a little while. But you know, we have heard about it in the past. It's slated to launch the end of the summer for PC, and it's a 6-player cooperative action horror game where 5 high schoolers try to escape from a deadly player-controlled supernatural killer on Halloween night of 1996. So that should be pretty cool, and they are actually going to be doing their first play experience, if you want to go hands-on, if you're going to PAX East. So I know, Allie, you're heading that way. Yep. I believe a lot of our stream team is going to be there, including Pixel Princess 80. I think Stephanie is going to be there as well. So yeah, if you guys get a chance in your PAX, you should go check it out. Yeah, awesome.
I remember seeing that game on Kickstarter and kind of wondering what happened to it. And I'm glad to see that they're getting there. They're getting ready.
When I first saw it, the artwork, I was like, oh my God, I feel like I'm looking at The Faculty. Do you guys remember that movie?
Vaguely.
Oh my God, that horror. If you like horror movies, like this is like a, it's called The Faculty. It's a horror movie where it takes place in a school and all the teachers are aliens or creatures or something, and they attack the students. It's a good freaking movie.
Sounds horrible.
I loved it. You don't like spoofy?
No.
Oh,
I love spoofy. I don't like spoopy, but I love spoofy.
Oh, spoopy.
Big old
okay.
Chicken. Big old chicken. Say.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. Someone has something here, and I don't know what it is. It's just 3 words
that
I
want to
like do a lead in, but
that's
I can't.
Me.
It just says Geralt and SC6. So Geralt, take it away.
Calibur. Geralt from The Witcher 3 was officially announced as a playable character in Soul Calibur 6. So Geralt in SC6 is Geralt in Soul Calibur 6.
Okay. No, it's mostly... Okay. To give you guys some inside baseball. When I do up the document for the podcast, usually everybody writes the news story that they're going to talk
with
about.
And
that helps
something.
Me then do some sort of lead-in. But today, none of us did that. So, I didn't know what it was about.
I'm sorry. But yeah, it's Geralt...
Of Geralt Rivia.
Of Rivia from The Witcher 3 series. Well, The Witcher series. The Witcher 3. The Witcher series is going to be a playable character in Soul Calibur 6. They teased it. There was a rumor a couple of weeks ago that it was going to happen, and then they teased, CD Projekt Red teased something yesterday or 2 days ago, and it was officially announced today. So Geralt will be a playable character, as well as the Kaer Morhen map, I guess you could stage, I guess is probably the word in fighting games. I'm not a huge fighting game fan, but looked pretty cool. He looks very, very good. Like, it's clearly Geralt. It definitely a lot of love went into making
Geralt,
the model.
Geralt's as... still looking like a snack in Soul Calibur.
Yeah.
He's looking good.
Most
yummy.
Definitely. I mean, he's going to be surrounded by beautiful, busty women, so I guess he had to...
Nobody
cares
about
cares.
Them.
Cares
have...
about
them. No.
We're talking about the White Wolf here, and
okay,
like,
well.
It's just... That bathtub scene, though? I wonder if we're going to get an alternate skin for him in Soul Calibur. It's going to be a towel.
Who knows?
We don't cast for 1 week and we all lose it. I love it.
I think we missed each other because this is crazy.
So, yeah, that's happening. If you saw the trailer and you played The Witcher, you recognize some of the moves. Igni, the mind control thingy, I forget what the name is.
The Jedi mind trick.
Yeah, even his fighting style, like, he did that little, like, twirl that he does when he fights, which reminded me a lot of... fucking Christ. It reminded me a lot. You guys can't see, but everyone's dancing for some fucking reason around me, so it makes it impossible for me to actually...
Because we're all thirsting for Geralt.
Yeah, it makes it impossible for me to do my news, so... Anyway, so yeah, that's it. It's gonna be Geralt in Soul Calibur 6. Go buy it on Xbox, on PC, on PS4, on Atari 2000, and on the Wii U. I guess, or something.
Asterix, that might not be all the consoles that this game is on.
It's close enough. It's more than half, so I'm good.
More than half.
Passing note.
Allie, last night on Twitter, some shit was trending, eh?
Yeah, so I disappeared. Like, I was busy making business cards. And I, like, hadn't checked Twitter, and I hadn't checked, like, just the internet in general in a while. And all of a sudden, I just kept seeing Drake memes everywhere. And I was like, what the fuck happened? What did I miss? Turns out, Drake partied up with what is arguably, or who is arguably, Twitch's most popular streamer at the moment, Ninja, who's an ex-professional Halo player turned Twitch streamer, who's raking in viewers and community members and just... at just alarming numbers, let's be honest. Very impressive, but straight up huge numbers, playing Fortnite. And he was joined last night on stream via voice by Drake, as well as two, I believe, football players.
Travis Scott is a rapper.
Oh, Travis
He's actually
Scott.
Headlining Oceaga.
Oh, my bad. First of all, no music knowledge, so.
That's okay. That's
my
bad.
So Travis Scott, rapper, and Juju Smith-Schuster, who is a football player. Anyways, so the four of them were hanging out playing some Fortnite, and I didn't pop into the Twitch stream because I didn't want to break my internet connection, but apparently it was popping. Apparently it was just, everyone was in there, huge name content creators and streamers were hanging out, watching this all unfold, and I think it's safe to say that gaming has gone mainstream. This was really cool. It was really awesome to see worlds colliding like that. I think it surprised everyone. You know, Fortnite and Twitch are stepping forward, saying that apparently this wasn't planned. This wasn't a publicity stunt. It was just something that happened, and it worked out really, really, really freaking well because. Mm. Ninja, Drake, Fortnite, and a few other keywords were trending on Twitter all the way until like this morning, and they've been this has been covered in like the Washington Post and non-gaming related news outlets all over the world.
I started watching the VOD before because life, and I hadn't had a chance, but I started watching the VOD before recording, and it was really interesting because, yeah, Ninja talks a bit about trying to organize this whole schedule with Drake, and he was like, yeah, we were supposed to do it on Sunday, and then it didn't work out, and I figured, oh, it's only going to be a weekend thing, and then you were like, Tuesday, no, Wednesday, and here we're recording on a Wednesday night, like, or we're playing on a Wednesday night. Didn't expect this, but, like, there's this one moment, too, like, I think it's the second round that they play, that Travis Scott, he was like losing it because he was reviving Ninja, and he's like, oh my god, I'm reviving Ninja. I'm like, oh my god, this is really funny.
I have watched a few clips here and there, and it really does look like they're having a fun time.
Yeah.
It looks like they're really enjoying themselves. I did see the clip of Ninja's wife, pardon me, I don't know her name, but she came over to say hi to Drake, and she was so excited. It was really sweet. She got really, really stoked about it. But yeah, it was like a nice, wholesome moment on Twitch. And I thought it was kind of cool. I personally like Ninja. I think he's a good content creator. I think he's a good role model. So seeing him kind of blow up like this has been kind of cool.
Yeah. Agreed. I think we'll end up seeing more of this stuff. And now I'm wondering, you know, is everybody going to be on, like, have the lookout for any of those names when they're streaming? If they end up in a random team match with somebody or someone shoots them and they're like, holy crap, that was Drake.
Probably.
All right, it's time to jump into the topic of the show. We're going to talk about demos. We're going to do that right after this break. Right, it's time for topic of the show, and this is something we haven't done in a little while. You know, a little round table talk, debate, whatever you want to call it. And yeah, so I guess get some background on this. So I probably talked about it a bit before, but essentially, Allie had recommended Slime Rancher a while back. It's her game of the year for 2017. And I had been thinking about it for quite a while. And I was like, oh, one night I wanted to play something. So I go into the store and notice that they have a demo available, which is essentially not just a demo, but the whole download of the game. And it's just like a timed amount of period that you're allowed to play. I believe it was around 2 hours. So anyways, with that short amount of time that I got with it, the game hooked me and I ended up dropping the money on it. And the rest is history. It's my first 100% in a Xbox achievement, so I felt pretty good about that. And it got me thinking about demos a lot and game demos and the fact that I feel like we don't see very many of them anymore, or if we do, it's usually for the wrong reasons. Like, a story came out not too long ago about Yakuza 6, and they had released a demo along the same lines where you download essentially the full part of the game and it keeps some pieces behind locked doors so that, you know, if you do decide you really like it, it's not like you had to wait an extreme amount of time to be able to access it. You just go drop the money on it and you go continue playing. Well, there was some kind of exploit that someone managed to figure out where it unlocked the entire game. So they took it off the store and removed access for people. So all of these, you know, different good and bad experiences with demos make me want to bring it up and talk to the crew about it and say, you know, demos, I think they're kind of important. I think it's something that we don't see a lot anymore. And I want to know how you guys especially feel about this versus betas, because people seem to use betas and testing scenarios of games, massively online games, as almost a demo.
Early access.
Yeah, that too. So we're going to talk about all these things together. And the first thing is, I want to know from everybody around this table, is have you ever had a demo that you really, really liked that, you know, gave you the scenario I did with Slime Rancher where you actually ended up going down and purchasing the game? Who wants to start?
I have one, but it's from something like 1999, maybe.
Doesn't matter, but that's a good point, because I feel like we haven't seen much game demos lately.
Yeah, so there was this thing, I can't even remember where it came from, but I know I used to rent it at the video store. Mm-hmm. And it was a game demo disc. So you basically had, like, it was PlayStation. And you had, like, 20-ish games. Hi, Penny. You had, like, 20-ish games on there that you could play and try out and whatever. And the game that really stuck with me at the time was Tekken 1. The first Tekken that ever came out. We're currently sitting at 7. And, yeah, I, like, that's literally the only game that I played the demo of. And I really enjoyed that I jumped into. But I feel like, you know, we talked a little bit about early access and you said that it's important to have, not important, but it's cool to have like a preview of the game before you can actually buy it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I felt when I was playing those like 20 demos. I think there was Spyro on there as well. Crash Bandicoot, that thing was probably on there as well, because the console had just came out, so it was still mm-hmm. very new, so they were still like trying to sell their games. So yeah, that's like in the demo term of like sense of the word, that's probably the only time I've ever actually played an actual demo that made me want to buy a game. So
mm-hmm. Allie or Kat?
I mean, I've downloaded like quite a few demos over the past couple of months. The Slime Rancher demo, even though I had played the game at E3 two years ago, 2016, I still downloaded the demo when it was available before buying the game, just, you know, So why not? Why not, right? Mm-hmm. I believe it was 2 extra hours with the game, and I was like, gonna revisit it, make sure it's for me. And yeah, I mean, I still download them on a regular basis when they're available.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Kat?
I don't feel like I've played a demo in the sense other than a event or a convention. Mm-hmm. For me, trying games and then buying it has been mostly an experience with my friends. Going over to a friend's house or sampling games in a shared Steam library, things like that. I mean, I tried Stardew installing it through my boyfriend's library, and I wanted to play so much that I ended up buying my own copy, because on Steam you can only play when the library is offline, so I couldn't play when he was online, and I was like, I need to play this all the fucking time. Hmm. So then I bought it. It's mostly the situation, but I like actually like being like just browsing the Xbox or the PlayStation store, being like, I wonder what this is, and then download the game and try it. Not so much. So mostly just like being in a friend's, like we were at my friend Guillaume's recently, we were playing Puyo Puyo Tetris, and now I'm like, I didn't even download the demo on the Switch because we played at his house. Now I kind of want to buy it so that I can play it alone.
No, okay, cool. Are you guys willing to download a large full game to have access to a demo? Because
hell
even
no.
Fortnite the other night when I was playing that, like that was a good 5 gigs for me to download, I think.
Hells no, nobody got time for that.
No?
I mean, I don't mind. I don't really care either way.
No.
I mean, if I'm so desperate to play the game at that point, I'd probably just buy it instead of downloading the demo first. So if it just, you know, set it to download, go take a shower, eat dinner or whatever, and come back and have it installed, it's okay with me. I uninstall it by the time, like, you know, when my demo's up, and if I don't want the game, I uninstall it, and there's no harm done sort of deal.
How about you, Simon? You willing to wait that long, potentially, to be able to try a game?
I mean, it's not like I only have one game to play that I just, when that's downloading, that I'm stop, get away from the computer because nothing's happening. So, you know, if ever I do buy a game or download it, then I usually just, I don't know, jump into an offline game or even online. You know, everyone has great internet connections right now, so I don't think that's really the issue. But no, I mean, I don't mind doing it if I have to, because. Mm-hmm. Like Alice said, you can just do something else while it downloads. And internet speeds are so fast now, you download super quick.
I just feel like it's most like an impulsive thing. Like for me, it has to be like quick satisfaction, quick gratification. No, you just kind of like download 1 or 2 gigs, try it, and then buy it. I don't want to like be like, you got to download the whole 60 gig to play like 5 minutes of it.
With that being said, what kind of demos do you like? Like, do you like a time-based one, kind of like Slime Rancher or some of the others? Even the Darwin Project is like that right now on Xbox. Or would you like to have a specific level? Like, when I had Diablo 3 and I tried it out and you had, like, the free pass, it was, like, the first level that you could play. Is that do you prefer something like that?
I think it really depends on the nature of the game. Slime Rancher makes time for a time demo just because it's a farming thing, and then level based games like Diablo make sense for them to give you a level. I think it depends on the experience, at what gives you a better experience of the game.
I
was gonna say I used to because I'm thinking back to what did I do to try games before I bought them. A lot of online games, usually you would have early access or a beta or whatever, the kind of stuff that you can kind of, you know, open beta that you can play, especially games that are, you know, FPS or MMOs, that kind of stuff. But offline games, I will download it.
Illegally
at my pirate friends, and if I like it, then I will definitely buy it. You know, I'm at a place in my life where I can afford to buy games if I really like them. So I will either, if I really really want to have it, I will download it, try it, it's fun, cool, I'm gonna buy it. If I'm not sure about it, then I'll wait for a sale and look at people play it online, look at reviews, that kind of stuff. You know, you always have those reviewers that you trust and know that if they say something about a game, then you kind of have the same opinion, so you'll know what you will like. And you know, I often find that works out for me more often than not. You know, I very often will buy a game and be like, oh, I shouldn't have bought that. This was really bad and mm-hmm. it was horrible. I should not have done that. Apart from Destiny 2. But, I mean, apart from that, I think that downloading illegally and then supporting the devs was something that I definitely used to do, but not so much nowadays.
Yeah, but you do raise a good point that today it's a content creator's world. So we have other ways of sampling games other than betas and demos and free weekends.
People playing it for you, pretty much.
Yeah, that's something. Do you think that because we have access to Twitch, to Mixer, to YouTube, to, you know, that Let's Plays, does that remove the demo for some people?
Well, it's not like playing the game per se, looking at someone playing it. Like, it's not the same at all, even if you trust the person's opinion or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, actually playing the game versus watching someone is definitely not something that you can... And, you know, different people have different skill levels as well. So, you know, mm-hmm. you're going to watch someone play a shooter or whatever and be like, oh, that person sucks. This looks horrible. What the fuck is happening? Like, I remember Danny from Game Room was playing Doom and I was like, wow, this game looks fucking horrible just because he sucks at it. So, I don't know. There's also that to account in what you're doing. So, I don't think it replaces it, but it's definitely something you can add on top of it.
Have you ever purchased a game after watching a content creator play it?
Oh, yeah. Notably Bloodborne.
Yeah?
Like, Bloodborne, one of my favorite games of all time, and I would have never played it if Game Grumps hadn't played it. Mm. And, like, it's the reason that I bought the game. I'm like, oh, this looks kind of fun, and I hated it for the first four times I played it. Mm-hmm. And then now I, you know, one of my favorite games of all time. So
you've got good.
Pretty much. It just goes to show, you know. But, yeah, definitely. And I can think of what other games did I buy after watching Game Grumps play it. I'm sure there's more, but...
Because you're such a fanboy.
Well, yeah. And also, you know, it's cool to see it in a different view. I don't know. It's cool to see them play that kind of game. Like, I remember whenever a new Zelda comes out or new Mario comes out, I'm always super excited to see them play it, even though I played it myself or whatever. But anyways, that's diverging a subject. But no, definitely happened. Definitely happened.
How about you, Allie?
Yeah, I've definitely done that. I'm trying to think of the one most recently that kind of encouraged me to buy it. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but I definitely know I've done it. I know I'm guilty of that, if it's something to be guilty of.
Well, yeah, it's not actually guilty. If it's a content creator you enjoy and he says that he likes the game, why would you not go get it? You know?
Well, that's it. I mean, like, you gravitate, or at least in my case, I gravitate to content creators that, you know, have similar interests as mm-hmm. I do, have similar personalities and stuff like that. So I feel, and, you know, if I'm enjoying watching them play, mm-hmm. There's a good chance that I'm going to enjoy playing myself. So, yeah. Can't really go.
Makes a lot of
really
sense.
Go wrong, yeah.
Cool. Now, you mentioned betas, and that's something I wanted to bring up too. Do you guys think devs use betas like demos, or on the flip side of that, do you think gamers use betas as demos?
Yes, I think the purpose of betas is lost on a vast majority of gamers nowadays. They don't see it as an unfinished product. They think they're just getting early access for a weekend. It's like most recently, Terra had a beta on Xbox, and you know, I was seeing some tweets about people angry about performance and connectivity issues, and it's like, it's a beta.
It's exactly why
they're
doing this.
Supposed to test that. Yeah.
It's and, you know, people complaining about the Sea of Thieves stress tests and you know, stuff like that. It's a beta. Like, it's not the same thing. And I think that, you know, that doesn't lie on the shoulders of the game companies. That lies on gamers just being entitled to a ridiculous degree.
I feel like you have emotions about this, Allie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you guys, I've gone on and on about gamer entitlement before, but it's just, you know, I think maybe some developers, and this would be very, very dumb on their part, to treat betas as demos. I mean, for some games, you know, maybe it maybe a demo's not, you know, the right fit for it. But having a beta to, you know, fix the game's issues and stuff is. But I don't think one should ever replace the other.
I think also it's there's a certain confusion because, yes, I work in a video game company, but I work in a business unit. And I work with a lot of colleagues that are interested in the gaming world, but are not maybe hardcore gamer. And I had to sit down with this girl I work with and I had to explain to her the difference between an alpha, a beta, a stress test, and a free weekend.
I was going to bring up free weekends.
Because she did not understand. And I was like, alpha and betas, they're like their first build. They put them out to test the bugs in the real world. A stress test is seeing how many fucking people can you get at once before everything falls apart.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then a free weekend is just your game is out and your game is finished. And then you're just giving it out there for free to get to try to get more people to purchase it. And that's something that's really important when we have games like Rainbow Six Siege and The Division at Ubisoft, and then, you know, Darwin Project, PUBG and Fortnite and whatever other online games there are. And I think a lot of people, like for the average users, I don't think people understand the difference between a demo, a free weekend, an alpha, a beta, and things like stress tests and things. It's just like there's one that's to test the game in the real world and it's supposed to break. Mm. And then there's the rest to get you to buy the game, to try and buy.
We've been invited to many betas over the years and jumped into them, whatever. I remember the Destiny beta from the beginning. And one game that's coming out now soon is Sea of Thieves. I have not played a single second of that game. And it's not because I'm not interested in it. It's just that I don't want my opinion of it to be changed at all by the fact that I can go in and play a beta or something like that, because I know in no time have I ever done a beta and it's run smoothly and I haven't had connection issues and stuff. So I'd rather just wait until the full game's out. Now I do enjoy when the devs, you know, give us a chance to play the game or something during a press event or something. That's a different scenario. And I feel like it's more along the lines of a demo. It's a vertical slice or it's something like that. And it's often guided. And they tell you, oh, this may not work. Don't go over there, yada, yada. But with a beta, I find it's a lot of hurry up and wait. And I don't have time for that. So I'd rather just wait, especially if it's a game I'm super interested in.
That's true. And there's also the false demo. Or the polished demo of a game that demo runs super well and looks good and all right, it's going to be awesome. And then the game comes out and it's shit.
Yeah, so, that happens too.
It definitely happens.
Free weekends. I find that this usually happens more late in the life cycle of a game, or if it's a game of service that they try to push later. It's just something that's actually not just a gaming related thing. Other service platforms do free weekends or do free times. Like, I know often on your cable subscription box, like you'll get free month of, you know, like some random channel, you know, to try and get you hooked. Yeah.
Oh, when I was a kid and we would get the weekend where they like... you get the free weekend for like the movie network. We used to like put on VHS a bunch of movies, and we had movies on VHS that had the scrolling marquee at the bottom that would say like subscribe to this channel. So that's my free weekend.
So much porn.
Totally.
Talk about actual movies. God.
All right. Before we kind of wrap this up, and I do invite listeners to join in this with Twitter and everything, I do have another question for you. Now that Xbox Game Pass is out there, and now we're going to be getting new games on there, updated, kind of like the Netflix of games in that sense, you know, Sea of Thieves is going to be on there, State of Decay 2, Crackdown 3. Do you guys think that this eliminates some of the need for demos?
No.
No?
No. Because not everybody has Game Pass. Game Pass isn't a good fit for everybody. And so, I mean, I don't think that they're going to be eliminating demos on Xbox, you know, just at, like to replace that. I mean, Xbox has kind of been like, they've been pushing demos. There's a lot of demos available on Xbox, so I don't see them getting rid of that anytime soon. I think a lot of people are going to subscribe to Game Pass just because it's a good bang for your buck, but I don't think they'd want to section off, you know, that part of the community and not give the opportunity to other people, because it's different. It's different.
Last thoughts on demos before we close this out and jump to the conclusion. Anybody got any last words? You still like them? You still want them?
I'm more play a demo at an event kind of girl, to be honest.
Okay. Simon, how about you?
Don't care.
You don't care?
No.
Allie?
I appreciate them. I appreciate when devs put in the effort to, you know, release a standalone demo that isn't, I mean, if it fits, like Catherine said, the style of the game. If they want to release a standalone demo to give people a taste of their game, and that I can enjoy from home, I appreciate that. I appreciate the effort. I think it's kind of a lost art that we're getting back now, and that's pretty cool.
Nice. See, like, usually the way I go around, if there's a game that I really, 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 really want to play, I will try to learn as less as possible about it. Just so that I can have the surprise and the excitement of playing it. So if there's a demo of a game I really want to play, yeah. Not even.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Much appreciate that. Want to close out the show because we are at that time in the episode. Allie had to jump off because she had to go stream. So that's okay, though. We're going to give her the show.
Dare she.
Stuff. You know, she got to do that mixer thing. But before I let you go, of course, want to thank Fun.io, our wonderful website hosting partner. If you're looking for any type of website hosting, you should go check them out. Stream Team, speaking of Allie jumping on Mixer, is going very well. Everybody seems to be very active. Cool stuff going on, right, Simon?
Always cool stuff going on. Definitely go check out mixer.com/team/girls1games. Something like that.
You got that right. You got that right.
That's what it is.
Catherine, what's going on our website?
We've got all our KatsuCon coverage is up. Our contributor, Elizabeth, went to KatsuCon. I think it's in Maryland, somewhere in the States. But it's a big-ass con, and we have photos of cosplay. We have 4 A-plus women artists that she met in the Artist Alley that do cute stuff that you can stock on Etsy. And an interview with a cosplayer and burlesque dancer. His name is Alan Ride, and he is fabulous. He has great cosplay, and he's also an ordained minister, and he will marry you in the costume of your choice.
Yo!
That's so cool.
It's too bad Allie left, because I would go to that wedding. Hell yeah.
Nice. Well, once again, I want to thank everybody around the panel. Of course, Allie left, and if you want to track her down, she's 8-Bit Blonde on all social media, including Mixer and Xbox Live. Catherine, where can people find you?
I'm CSDESBINS on Twitter, Instagram, most gaming platforms, but I'm not gaming right now. I'm watching Netflix. Jessica Jones Season 2 is out. What?
The struggle is real, and we wait because Far Cry 5 is coming.
Oh, I can't wait to go kick a skunk.
Just
put Far Cry 5 kicking skunk in YouTube and enjoy. Is that okay? All I have to say.
Okay. Wow.
Wow.
Sure. Why not?
How about you, Simon? Where can people track you down and watch all that on buffs and nerfs?
I mean, people can follow me except Kat, who kicks skunks. Apparently, I don't want that kind of energy in my life. So don't do that. I am GOG Simon on Twitter, and apparently when I post stuff, people like it, so I guess I'll start doing that more for some reason.
Yeah, and of buffs and nerfs?
Yeah, of buffs and nerfs. That's exactly what it is.
Is the new episode next week? When is it coming out?
Not sure yet. We kind of had some stuff to iron out with the people. And Marie, actually, who is working on a very big project right now with the people over at Montreal Esports. So if people who don't necessarily follow what's happening, they have an Overwatch Contender Esports team. So basically, Contenders is just a level below the Overwatch League. So hopeful players that teams can come kind of pick up and do that kind of stuff. So they have a really cool feature. It's called the Recall, and it's going to happen once a week after the Contenders match. And it's pretty much Marie who is doing kind of a roundup of the match that happened over the weekend with her two analysts. And there's also a cool little segment where she does like fun things with some of the players. Last week it was I forget his name. I think Spirit, something like that, or Swift, or whatever, something S, and they did the bean boozle challenge. So like, it's the beans that either taste like vomit or like peach. So it was actually really, really funny. So definitely go, while Oban comes back in a few weeks, definitely go check out Marie's project with Montreal Esports called The Recall. So it's
awesome.
Really fun.
And I'm Leah Jewer on social media platforms. But if you want to follow me on Xbox Live or Mixer, I'm GOG Leah. But of course, you want to know everything there is to know about Girls on Games. And you can track us down at The Girls on Games on Twitter and Facebook. Girls on Games on Instagram. If you want to continue this lovely conversation, you can do so on our Discord channel with us. That's discord.me/girlsongames. We talk about video games, life stuff, pets, food, you know, all, you know, just everything.
If you missed Kat's very high cat last earlier this week, it was really funny.
Yeah, you can go back. It's still there.
Dimitri high as fuck.
But of course, if you ever need to know anything at all, you can track down all the information on our home base, that is girlsongames.ca. So once again, thank you, Kat. Thank you, Simon. Thank you, Allie, though you've run away. Thank you for listening. It's been another wonderful week. It's good to be back in the saddle, and we'll talk to you again next week. So have a good one. Talk soon. Bye.